You are great, and we love you, and we stand in awe of you, and that you love us. We sang also of your great love for us, Lord, and we don't understand it, but we're so thankful. We love you so much, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be here today in your house. We're here, Lord, to worship you. We want to connect with you today, Lord. We want to show you and tell you that we love you and that we want to be yours. We pray, Lord, that you would speak through your message this morning, that each of us would walk away from here with something that would draw us closer to you this week, that would allow us to show someone else your love, that they may know you too. Thank you for your wonderful message of hope and restoration for us, Lord, that we do have a future of peace and health and safety because of you. We do love you, Lord, and we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, ladies, for that beautiful song. Well, we all know what a missionary is, right? A missionary is someone who goes out and leaves their land and goes to a foreign land and shares with people about Jesus, right? That's what a missionary is. We have a lot of missionaries in our church that have gone out and serve, and some serve here and other places. But I want to make you uncomfortable this morning and let you know that in a very real sense, every single one of us is a missionary. Not that you have to go to a foreign land, but that you are sent out by God to represent Him in our world. We are missionaries on assignment right here. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture in Luke where Jesus sends out 72 of His followers to go represent Him. As we look at this story, we realize that He also sends out us to represent Him in our world. Luke 10, stand as we read God's word. It says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we will wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you'll go down to the depths. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you what many prophets and kings wanted to see, what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Lord, thank you for your word, and I pray today that you'll speak to us through your word. We want to open up our hearts and minds to receive your message today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So to set the scene for this sending out of 72, Jesus has already told us in the gospel he's on his way to Jerusalem. He's going to Jerusalem to die, to be raised back to life. But the disciples aren't getting it. They don't understand. But as he's going, he's already sent out the 12 disciples. They came back and did what he told them to do, and everybody was excited about it. This time he sends out 72 others, it says. So to me, that means 72 other followers of his besides the 12 that he's sending out. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of Jesus wandering around Israel, I think of the 12 guys tagging along behind him, right? But here it says, there's 72 others that he's sending out. So there's quite a crowd following Jesus or wherever he goes. And he sends 72 of them out ahead of him to the towns toward Jerusalem where he's going to go in teams of two to prepare the way for them. These are ordinary people being sent out, like missionaries, if you will, the way the Lord sends all of us out into our world. So let's talk about our mission field here today. Our mission field. We live on a mission field right here. I mean, yeah, there's missionaries all over the world, but the United States of America is a mission field as well. And it's a mission field because it's full of people who need to know Jesus. It's full of people who need to know Jesus. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful. Those words are eternally true. The mission field that we are called to serve in is full of people who do not know Jesus. They do not have Jesus in their heart as their Savior. Their destiny is a bad destiny. They don't know Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you, open your eyes. Look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. One of the things that we need to do is make sure we open up our eyes to see the people around us. Do we see the people around us as people who need Jesus? The idea that the harvest is ripe means that it's ready. It's ready. There are people out in our world that are looking for answers. They're looking for that peace that can only be found by knowing Jesus. They're searching. They don't even know what they're searching for, but they're searching for Jesus. What do you see when you see people? You know, if you were to go to most stores today, you see people in masks because they require masks. A lot of stores do. And so it's kind of funny because when I see someone in a mask, I think I know them, but I'm not sure. Do I really know them? How well do I know your eyes? Yeah, I think that is you, you know, and you kind of try to do this game of figuring out who people are, even with the masks on. And it can be done. But masks are really nothing new. People have been wearing masks for years, maybe not the kind you put on your face, but a mask that hides who they really are and what's going on inside of them. They put on the mask of success and hide behind it. The mask of wealth and they hide behind it. The mask of popularity. The mask of education. All these things that people hide behind when everybody thinks they're fine because they're hiding behind this mask. When the reality is they need Jesus. Everyone needs Jesus Christ. There's a song that was written many years ago in the 80s by a guy by the name of Steve Green. Some of you will be familiar with this song. People need the Lord. Let me just read a few words from the song. He says, every day they pass me by. I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed for who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries. Only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that people need the Lord? The harvest field is plentiful, full of people that need to know Jesus. But the next thing Jesus says is it's lacking in people willing to share about Jesus. He said the workers are few. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We drove up to northern Idaho a couple weeks ago, and the wheat fields are beautiful up there, by the way, on the Palouse and on the Camas Prairie. I mean, just I've never seen wheat fields so full. I mean, they were harvesting them. It was beautiful. But you know, when harvest comes, when the harvest is ready, you get right on it. You don't delay. You get as many people as you can, get the equipment out there, and you harvest it and get it done. Jesus says the harvest is ready, but I don't have enough workers. I'm lacking workers in the harvest field. So why is there a shortage of workers in the harvest field? Why are there people, a shortage of people who are willing to share about Jesus, to be a witness? Well, there are several reasons. One of the reasons I think some people think there's not a harvest. They think people aren't open. People won't accept it. Well, some won't. But Jesus said the harvest is ripe. We need to open our eyes to see the people around us. Some don't share because they don't think it's their responsibility. You know, that's for the pastor to share. That's for the teachers to share. That's for the missionaries who go overseas to share. You know, that's for someone who's gifted in evangelism to share. It's not for me. That's not my role. But the reality is, all of us are called to share, to be witnesses for Jesus. Some people don't do it because we are afraid. You know, if you're afraid, you're just being too self-conscious. You're too worried about what people are going to think and say. When you really need to get over that fear thing. When it comes to sharing about Jesus. Some people don't share about Jesus because they don't feel like they're prepared or not able. And you'd be amazed what Jesus can do with just a simple witness. You don't have to have a degree in theology to share about Jesus and to be a witness. Some people don't share about Jesus simply because they're selfish. They never think about anybody else. Just thinking about them. We need to be like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 when he saw that vision of God and heard God speak, who will we send for us and who will go? And Isaiah says, here am I, send me. Send me, I'll go. We need to get out in the harvest field. Join God in the harvest field and be a witness for Christ. We need to pray. I wonder what would happen if we prayed as we started our days, Lord, give me an opportunity to witness to somebody today. I wonder if God would answer that prayer. You think he would? I remember years ago praying that prayer. It was back when I was in the business before I went into the ministry. I prayed that prayer that particular morning, and a salesman came by and wanted to take me to lunch, and so I went to lunch with him, and the first words out of his mouth in the car was, "What do you think about the Trinity?" I thought, what? Let's see, I did pray about an opportunity to witness, and this guy's asking me what I think about the Trinity. It was an opportunity to witness for Jesus. So when God gives us opportunities, we witness, and then we leave it in his hands. We leave it in his hands. As we go into the harvest field and be a witness for Jesus, we know that it's filled with opposing spiritual forces. Jesus said, "I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves." Does that make anybody feel good in here? About lambs? You know what wolves do to lambs? You know, it's dinner, right? It's not a good picture. What he's saying is, there's opposition out there. There's opposition. When you go into the harvest field carrying the light of Jesus into the darkness is going to not like it. Paul says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There's where our struggle comes from. There's where our opposition comes from. Any person that desires to be a witness for Jesus becomes a target of the enemy. And unfortunately, many of us haven't taken the call to be a witness for Jesus seriously enough to get the enemy very upset. We need to go out and share. Now, don't be too freaked out about the lamb and wolf analogy, okay? Because remember, Jesus is the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb wins. We don't go out powerless. We go out in the name of Jesus with the power and authority of Jesus Christ. The devil is defeated in the name of Jesus. So we don't fear the wolves. We just know they're there, right? We go out in victory in Jesus. Let's talk about our mission assignment. We go out to represent Jesus. The 72 that were sent out were to represent Jesus. The only qualification they had was they believed in Jesus Christ. They were followers of Christ. That's the only qualification. They hadn't been to school. They hadn't special training. They just believed in Jesus. And Jesus says, okay, you guys go. Go. You're going to go do, represent me out there in the world. You're going to be a witness. Jesus told his disciples, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." He calls all of us to be witnesses. It's for everybody. So one person said it this way: witnessing is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. It's just a simple witness, telling what Christ has done for you. Not complicated. If you happen to be a citizen of the nation of Israel, you serve in the armed forces. It's not optional. You graduate from high school, you go into the military. 2 years for girls, 3 years for men. And then once you get out of the military, you're in the reserve for basically your whole life until you get too old to serve in the reserve. No options. You're a member of that country, you serve. You're a member of the family of God, the kingdom of God. You're part of the family. We are called to serve, to be witnesses for Jesus. It's not optional. It's not optional. We're all called to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. We also, as we go, we pray for others to represent Jesus. Jesus says, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send workers into the harvest field. Now, we pray from the harvest field. We're already in the harvest field. We're out there trying to share about Jesus, and we pray for people to join us. We don't wait for more people. We go and we pray. A lot of us do the opposite. We pray for God to send someone else to go. But we need to go. I get that often, sometimes, when people call and say, "Pastor, I need you to come share with my neighbor." And I'm willing to do that, and I've done that sometimes. But what's better is for you to go share with your neighbor. God has put you in that relationship. He's put you next door to them. You have the opportunity and the open door to represent Jesus to them. We pray for others to join us. to represent Jesus Christ. We trust God to meet our needs. The disciples were, these followers were told by Jesus when they went out, don't take an extra bag or extra sandals. Don't take anything, kind of like he told the 12 when he sent them out. Just trust me. Don't take your suitcase. Don't take your credit cards. Just go. Trust me, I'll take care of you. And the same thing for us. When we go out and try to be a witness for Jesus, we're tempted to trust in our abilities, our ability to talk, our ability to communicate, our training. Don't trust in any of that. We trust in Jesus. He'll speak through us. It's amazing what God can do with a real simple witness. Even the way you live is a witness. God can use that. As we go, we trust in God to meet our needs, not in ourselves. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." That even includes the need that you have when you're trying to witness. Because one of the things that keeps a lot of people from witnessing is, I don't know what to say. Well, let me just give you a clue. Open your mouth and say something. God's going to give you the words to say. Trust him. He'll help you. It's amazing what will happen. And you'll be done and you go, wow, where did that come from? I didn't know I was going to say that. Well, of course you didn't know you were going to say that. Because God helped you. Do it. He'll meet our needs. We need to feel a sense of urgency. Jesus told the 72, don't greet anyone on the road. Just go there and get it done. That sounds a little rude to us, but you need to understand the culture of that day. It wasn't just a greeting like, hi, how are you? Have a good day. In that day, to greet someone was to spend some time with them, maybe a shared meal, maybe spend the night. I mean, a greeting was a big deal. So he's saying, we don't have time for that. This is urgent. Go. Get out there. Share what I've told you to share. There's urgency. And we too need to sense that urgency in the message. We sang a little bit ago in that great hymn, How Great Thou Art, when Christ shall come. We look forward to that day, don't we? My friends, it's coming closer and closer to that day. Look what's happening in our world. It is getting closer. There is an urgency to our message because all of eternity depends upon it. That people accept Jesus Christ as their Savior depends where they'll spend eternity. It's so important. It is an urgent message that we have to have and share. We're also to establish relationships with others. He told the 72, when you find a house that'll accept you, just stay there. Don't move from place to place. In other words, get to know them. Get to know them. You're just not a door-to-door evangelist knocking on the door and heading out. You're going to stay with them. You're going to spend some time with them. Get to know them. There's something about building relationships with people that gives you an opportunity to maybe speak into their lives the truth of Jesus Christ. Build relationships with people so that you can share with them and witness with them. One person said it this way, love others until they ask you why. And then you can tell them about Jesus. We also demonstrate compassion for people. Jesus told the 72 that he was sending out, heal the sick that you find there. That's amazing to me. These 72 ordinary people, followers of Jesus, were given the power of Jesus to heal people. And said, you know, by the way, while you're there, heal people. Wow, that's amazing. Because there's people who are sick. And they were able to do it, and people were healed. They were showing compassion for their physical needs, and people were healed. Acts of compassion can open up the door to be able to share the gospel. An act of kindness, compassion that you show someone, could open up the door to possibly be able to share the most important news, which is about Jesus Christ. And we are to share that good news of Jesus. He tells the disciples that he sent out, tell them the kingdom of God is near you. That's the gospel. The kingdom of God. Not a kingdom with an earthly ruler in Jerusalem, but a kingdom where God rules in their hearts. When they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're part of the kingdom. Christ is their Lord, their Savior. The good news that God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That is good news. That when we die, we can go and live forever in heaven with Jesus Christ in a place beautifully prepared for us. That eternal life begins right now. It's a relationship we have with Jesus right now, a quality of life that's going to last forever. It is good news. So I think we need to ask ourselves, do we believe it's good news? We have a tendency to share good news, don't we? You know, if our sports team is doing well, providing they can play right now, you share that, right? If your kids or grandkids do something exciting, you share it. If something good happens to you, you share it. We like to share good news. It's easy to share good news. So if we really believe this is good news, which it is, we should be able and willing to share it, don't you think? This good news. As we do that, we expect a mixed response. Jesus warned the 72 that he sent out, not everybody's going to accept you. Not everybody's going to accept the news, the good news. Even though it's good news, not everybody's going to accept it. He used the example of three cities that he ministered to in Galilee: Capernaum, Chorazin, and Bethsaida. I've been to those three sites in Israel, and they're just ruins there today. But those are all places where Jesus did amazing miracles. Jesus gave so much evidence in these cities that he was the Messiah, yet so many people did not believe in him. Some did. So many people did not believe in him that he's saying those cities are judged. He said if the cities of Sodom and Tyre and Sidon, places that are judged in the Old Testament, had seen the miracles you've seen, they would have repented. But you didn't. He's using as an example that even though there's all this evidence, all this amazing evidence to believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Savior of the world, many people will not believe. We just need to be prepared for that. We rejoice when people do accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, but many do not. And that's not your fault. You're just supposed to share the good news. They have to decide. They have to make a decision. We can't make anybody accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Can't go beat anybody up or make anybody accept Jesus. It's their choice. We share the good news and we leave it with God. Let's talk about our mission reward. There is the experience, we experience the joy of service. When these 72 came back, they were so excited. It says they returned with joy. They were so excited about everything they got to see and everything they got to do in the name of Jesus. They were pumped up. Even the demons submit to us in your name, they said. There's a joy that comes from serving Jesus. A joy that comes. Seeing his power work in our lives and through our lives. Seeing things happen that we couldn't do, but God did. There's a joy that comes from serving Jesus. It's so exciting if you have the opportunity to be with someone when they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's just a major thrill. So exciting to see that and experience that. But I want to encourage you, because most people that come to faith in Christ come in stages. It's rare that someone hears it for the first time and accepts Christ. Sometimes it happens. Usually it's stages. Oftentimes they need to hear it many, many times or have several encounters with Christians that share with them. So you could be in on the early part of those stages, maybe stage one or stage two. You've shared with them, but you don't know how it turned out. You lost track of that person. You don't know what happened. But you're still part of the story. I think it'll be fun when we get to heaven and have people come up and say, you know, you're part of the reason I'm in heaven today. Because of your witness, because of the way you live, because of the way you prayed for me, because of something you did, and you didn't think you had anything to do with it. Wouldn't that be cool? You're part of the process of them coming to come to a place where they believed in Jesus Christ. So we have the joy of serving the Lord and being a part of this. There's also the joy of victory. These disciples were so excited that demons obeyed them. They had seen Jesus drive out demons. Now they saw the demons drive out when they drove them out, and they were excited. Jesus was so excited about this that he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. In other words, you guys beat him up. These 36 disciple teams were doing serious damage to the kingdom of darkness. So much so that Jesus said, I saw Satan fall. Scripture says that Jesus came. The Son of God appeared, the reason he did, to destroy the devil's work. And we see that beginning, and it continues to go on. Jesus Christ has defeated the devil, and he's defeating the devil in people's lives when they place their faith in Jesus Christ. We also experience the joy of salvation. Jesus said when these guys were so excited that the demons obeyed him, they said, guys, here's what you really should be excited about, that your name's written down in heaven. That's what you really should be excited about, that your name's written down in heaven. There's nothing better than your name written down in heaven. He's using an analogy here. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, your name is written down in heaven. It's kind of like an RSVP, you know. You got your reservation in. Your name's written down in heaven. When you leave this place on earth, you're going to go to heaven to be with him. But you have to have your name written down. And you do it by placing your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then we can live our lives here, our lives that God has blessed us with, and also look forward to the life to come with him. But your name has to be written down. You should be excited about that, he says. It also protects us from pride, because we shouldn't be so excited about what we've been able to do. The demons, we cast out the demons. We should be excited not about what we do, but who we are. That we're children of God with our names written down in heaven. That's what should really excite us. We experience the joy of pleasing Jesus. I love this passage because it says Jesus was full of joy. He was excited about what his followers did. He sent out these ordinary people who did amazing things, and Jesus is full of joy. He is the author of joy, and the author of joy is full of joy. Because these people did what he called them to do, his followers. They trusted him. He did great things through them. And he is full of joy. I don't know about you, but I think it's exciting to bring joy to the heart of Jesus. You know, we please him. We bring joy to his heart. When we serve him, we do what he asks us to do. And he does the work through us. And he is joyful that we have let him work in and through us. We experience the joy of knowing God. Jesus said, no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Jesus Christ has revealed God the Father to his disciples. Remember Philip, when he asked Jesus, he said, Jesus, just show us the Father and then we'll be happy. And Jesus said, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So you want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. He reveals God to us, and we can know him in a relationship through Jesus Christ. We experience this amazing joy. We experience the joy of seeing God work. Jesus told his disciples, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. The prophets and the kings wanted to see that, but they didn't. And to hear what you hear. Followers of Jesus were blessed because they got to have a front row seat to see Jesus Christ miracles and life changed, amazing things happen, and they got to be a part of it. We're blessed today because we know what God has done through reading his word. We read the stories and we see what God has done through history. He's still building his church. His church is growing every day, the church around the world. We get to be a part of it. Just as he sends the 72 out, he sends us out to be a part of what God is doing. He's already out there at work. You know, you'll never meet a person that God isn't already working on their heart. It's not like he starts working when you show up. He's already working on that person. He's always drawing on that person. We get to join him in his work. Let me share some more words to this song that people need the Lord in closing. We're called to take his light to a world that where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through his love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our lives for people need the Lord? I'm going to ask the musicians to come up and lead us in a song. We'll invite you to a time of prayer. You can pray about anything that you need to pray about, of course, but one of the things I think we should pray about is for opportunities to share with others about Jesus. Maybe there's people on your in your lives that you know already, that you have relationships with, that don't know Jesus, and pray that God will give you an opportunity to speak into their lives. When we do it with respect and kindness and love. We're not trying to beat them up. We're not trying to come to a place of where we look down on them. We respect them. We want to do it in a kind way, but we want to share them the truth in love. Let's stand together and